Well, that's a brilliantly acrobatic save. Xhaka's caught it, Giroud!
Starting with an attacking play on the second half, just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball, DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones, wow, DJ Stones runs past Lionel Messi, runs past Cristiano Ronaldo, passes to Fernandinho, Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses, but DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in and wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play and this is the VAR show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are up, back once up. Again with the very, very exciting
VAR
show. With your host who does the most, even when he's making toes.
Yeah.
The Ballon d'Or winner of the show. The one, the only, DJ Stones.
What's wrong?
Now all I have is a Puskas Award.
best goal.
But you know what? I'm going to take the best goal.
Damn, Jay, did I knock you out like
I'm going to take the best goal because that trophy is all I have in the bowl.
What? No. That's the rhyme. Yes. Who? You never even said your name.
Oh, flip. It is your boy, your man, your boy. DJ Sticks,
your boy,
the
man, your boy.
Shut up. The man who always clicks, the man who always sticks. You know, even when I fail, I still bring it back and I hit you with a brick. Huh?
The one and only.
Always slick.
DJ
Sticks. That's a rough one. That was a rough intro.
Yeah. Woo! Hitting people with bricks now.
Yeah.
And yes, we have so much in store. For you in this show, starting from transfer rumors all the way to the biggest topic right now,
let's
the
Euros. Of course,
you know, I don't. If you should be excited unless you've been under a rock.
Yeah.
Unless you've been sleeping under a rock for the past month, I guess.
Yeah.
Then we'll understand why you're not allowed. But if you've been watching it, you've been seeing the heat. It's been hot,
sweat,
stress. But before we do, let us listen to this jam.
Yeah.
I look to the stars in the night sky, and I realize, no matter how dark, you're still burning bright. It's gonna be alright, it's gonna be alright. There's something amazing about you. We'll be right back.
reason to laugh. Let me give you a reason to laugh. Because this week I'm doing the deep joke segment. Yay! Okay, this is my deep joke. Are you ready?
Okay, sense of humor, turn on.
Okay, I'll never forget my granddad's last words to me just before he died. They were, "Are you still holding the ladder?" This laugh double laughs. You tried to hold it in.
Yeah. We are back.
Yeah.
We are hitting it. About to drop it like it's hot.
You know.
Some hot transfer rumors and some of them confirmed.
Oh, yes.
Starting off, Leicester City is getting a new striker in Patson Daka.
Oh.
D-A-K-A.
New striker?
New striker.
Wait. Do they need one, though?
Well, yes. They do need one.
No, they don't.
Think about it. You know, you have an aging Jamie Vardy, and then they have that. What is that striker?
Kelechi Iheanacho,
who is very good. You know, he was very good last season. Mm-hmm. But again, you want to keep your options open. You know, you don't want it to just be Jamie Vardy and him. You know, if he gets injured and Jamie Vardy's off form next season, what do you do? And look, this guy, very interesting, you know, coming up out of RB Salzburg.
Oh,
Out of 28 matches, scoring 27 goals in the 2020-2021 season.
No way, that's...
Sorry, out of 28 matches, scoring 27 goals, meaning that he had a goal average of, I think, 1 point something.
Yeah, like one a game.
Yeah, he had one goal a game.
That is Haaland things.
Yeah.
You know,
from the same club as Haaland, you know.
Salzburg is a COVID hotspot.
Yeah.
Because of the amount of deadly
strikers they produce.
It's insane.
You know. And in the Austrian Cup.
Yeah.
He out of 6 games he scored 5 goals.
Yeah, he's lethal.
He seems very lethal, you know. And now the question is, how is he going to do next season when he is playing for the Foxes, you know?
Yeah!
Are they going to use him to the best of his abilities? Only 22 years. He has many, many years ahead of him.
Oh, he has a lot of years.
You know? And, yeah, I think he's going to be able to, you know, bring the most when it comes to Leicester City's front line. And I personally, I don't think that's where they should have been focusing.
Yeah.
I think more midfield, you know, would be key.
Also goalkeeping, because I don't know Leicester City's backup keeper. I don't know. Never heard of him.
Yeah, but I think Schmeichel right now is fine. Like looking at last season, and what happened to them, you know, that defensive midfield role to the backline role wasn't really doing the best for Leicester City.
Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, it cost them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially towards the end of the season. When you had your Madison getting injured.
Oh, yes.
Their midfield does need quite a good amount of work. They're striking. Yes, Jamie Vardy is aging. How do you say his name?
Ikelechi,
thank you. He's doing very well for them. And, you know, somebody either to back him up or to play as a second striker. As in not second striker, the role as in a striker that they can pull in to games, you know, will be very, very good. And he can grow under the lights of Jamie Vardy as well, you know?
Yeah.
And another one is Arsenal reaching agreements to sign Benfica defender Nuno Traves.
Nice.
So Nuno Traves was playing for Benfica this season, you know. He's a very, very good talent, having about 25 appearances, playing as a traditional fullback. You know, now they're going for that fullback role, you know. He can shift up the field when needed, you know. So I think he will play very well alongside somebody like, what is his name, Tierney.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you play him on one side, Tierney on the other side, and you have Gabriel in the center. Now they need to find another center back, which they are trying to do, while they're trying to sign Ben White from Brighton.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, a back four of Tierney, Ben White, Gabriel, and then Nuno Tevez. Yeah. So yeah, I can say his name, Nuno Tevez. Tevez. I'm probably saying his name wrong. And the confidence I'm having in saying his name wrong, you know. Again, also an exciting young talent to see.
Yeah.
Hopefully he does the best when in English football, you know. Having 14 appearances last season for the team in their Portuguese Premier League, 5 appearances in the Europa League, and on overall wonderful right back, very young. He can play left as well, so you know.
Ah, that's good.
He can play left, he can play right.
That's good.
So he'll be very versatile for Arsenal. But now the thing is, it's not 100% confirmed.
Yet.
But it's, you know, Arsenal going, it's not like he has another club interested in him. Or else Arsenal will be in trouble. Yeah, but then, you know, he's only 21. It's very exciting to see what he can produce next season.
Looking forward to it.
Aston Villa hopefully trying to get Jack Grealish on a new contract. Jack Flippin' Grealish.
That is, oh my word. I feel like they know that there's a huge chance that he might leave. Now it's, yeah, and he's been playing for them for a long time, so they can't even complain and say too soon. Yeah, no.
Now, you look at a club like... You look at a club like Aston Villa. You know, it is not really a small club.
No, it's not.
Also, as in terms of finance, they're not really a low club. They're quite wealthy.
Yeah, they're quite well off.
And he's currently on a 5-year deal, and that means it will probably push him to about 2023, 2024. Mm. So. Looking at this, you know, it's until 2025.
2025?
Yes, so it's until 2025.
Yeah.
And he'll be 28 by then, so he'll be at the peak. You know, they can sell him now for about 100 more, or they can wait a season or two and sell him then.
But then what if he drops? Because...
I guess it's a huge gamble they have to take. Because remember, a club like this, they also wanting to ensure that they get... to European football. I don't think that their plan is to be, you know, just the average, just Aston Villa, you know, mid-table Aston Villa. You know, keeping him on a salary like this, normal mid teams would have sold him by now. You know, United want him, City want him.
I know.
You obviously have like more international clubs as well that want him, and City is actually what offering. City were offering about 100 million.
Which they rejected.
I don't know if they rejected it yet. But we don't even know if it was an official bid. But they say that they have... the rumors were that they have reached... They have sent that thing of they want him for 100 million. And as well, you want to wait, you know. Because he wasn't starting in the English squad for the Euros 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did come on against the Germany game. He made a huge difference. A huge difference to the team. And they might now start bringing him on in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. And if England does win the Euros...
Oh, no.
Screw that 100 mil. I don't want it. I want 150 more.
Yeah. Did you see him?
Did you see him? Mm. You know? And that's the thing. And it's that thing of, if you don't want him, we have a world-class midfielder. We have a world-class... attacking player.
That's what I see as well. I think if they were after the money, they would have sold him by now. If it was a thing of flip 100 mil, what? Yeah, they would have sold him a long time.
If they want to sell him, if he was wanting to leave, because remember, if the player wants to leave as well, you know, they're going to be like, okay, cool. They have the chance to say no, but if they're like, okay, let's see how much money we can get from him. Because again, this could be his peak.
Yeah.
You know, this could be his peak right now. And in that, you know, you'd be like, okay, we want the most out of you. Let us wait until the Euros is done. Let's see where they end up. We can get more the further they are. They're no more just buying a Premier League midfielder. They're buying the 15th highest ranked midfielder in the world.
Flip.
You know?
Yeah. Euro champions,
a European champion.
What?
You know, and that is bigger.
Yeah, a starter in the final, something. Yeah, that is huge.
And lastly, you know, two pieces of news that I think I enjoy. Three piece actually. The other one, it's okay. Junior Firpo sets to join Leeds from Barcelona. So there is a potential transfer for Junior Firpo, the Barcelona fullback, to come to Leeds.
On a permanent deal. Man, that's interesting, because he was supposed to be the Jordi Alba replacement. Because when he gets injured, it's normally him who fills in.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a backup now.
I think it would be good for both the player and for Leeds. You know, obviously you bring in some good talent into the squad.
Yeah.
You're very solid. Yes, there is some times where you realize why he's not starting in Boston. You know, he is more defensive than your the attacking thing that they need. But Bielsa can make anybody anything.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah. Okay.
He made Patrick Bamford an A-rated striker. You know, and people thought when he was just a championship level, he was in a Premier League level.
Yeah,
striker.
Was with there having a conversation with Harry Kane.
You know,
yeah.
And now
he's taking the boot.
And now you people are shocked that he isn't picked for the England Euro squad. It's like, what? They didn't pick him.
But 1 year ago, he was
in no one's conversation.
Like England under 21.
You know, and that's good to see. The other piece of news is Eduardo Camavinga.
Hey,
you know a player is good when I know how to pronounce their name for short.
Studied.
Eduardo Camavinga.
That is good. That
he's currently playing for Rennes, one of the biggest young talents out there now.
He's trending.
If you don't know who Camavinga, if you've not heard the name Camavinga, you've been under a rock.
Yeah, you've been.
If you do not know who Eduardo Camavinga is, don't talk to him.
I feel like you're saying his name because you know how to say it. Because
definitely. So Eduardo Camavinga.
Let's go.
He plays for Rennes. He's a defensive midfielder. I can play all-round midfield, but mostly a defensive midfielder. And currently, the 18-year-old...
What?
Yeah, the 18-year-old.
Say that again.
The 18-year-old Eduardo Camavinga could be leaving Rennes this summer. Summer for them. Yeah, 20 for us. This summer.
What?
Now, the teams that are looking for him are Real Madrid, Manchester United, and PSG. And now, look, he's leaving Rennes so that he can further his career, you know?
Yeah.
He can become a player that's playing Champions League football. He obviously wants to become a player that is winning silverware. He wants to be able to develop as a player as well.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the best player now, okay, I'm about to say this and people are going to be like, because you're a United fan, it's because you like Manchester United, you know?
Yeah, you do.
I think he should go to United. You know, reason being, United has a huge midfield problem.
Yeah.
You look at Real Madrid, it's not there. You look at PSG, it's definitely not there.
Mm.
I think PSG have the best midfielders in the world in one club.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would be smart for him, especially 18-year-old. You know, he will fall down the midfield pecking order. You know, you have Verratti, you know, you have Paredes, you have Drax, you have Rafinha, Andres Herrera.
Oh my word!
You have so many big names there, and now you. An 18 would not really that experience. 18-year-old come from Rennes. I don't really think you're going to get that first team football that you need to further your progression that far.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You look at there's another big talent currently in PSG that is in their second team, Xavi Simon.
Oh yes, him.
And he came from Barcelona for $2 million.
He was huge.
And he was a big
Barcelona.
Talent.
Oh my word. Oh.
But he's only played, I think he made his debut towards the end of the season. And reason being is, again, there is the midfield of PSG is just that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And then it's the same for Real Madrid. You know, it's the same for Real Madrid. You're looking at people like Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, Isco, Casemiro, Valverde.
Oh, my word. Overload.
And those are just the big names there. And those are not even the other people that are playing midfield there, you know. This is not like the person who was introduced last season. What is his name? Marvin Park.
Oh, yes.
This is not like, what's the other game? Rodrigo.
Yeah.
It's not adding people like him.
Not even there yet.
And, you know, and this you're going to have a problem. Yeah. And obviously they're bringing David Alaba, who can play as a defensive midfielder.
As well. So,
needed.
What? Who are you?
So, you know, and Man United don't, you know, we have Tom and McFred. We have McFred, McTominay and Fred. We have an aging Mata. We have an aging Matic. We have Donny van de Beek, who, I've said it a lot, and I'm not going to go on this rant again, who's been robbed of playing time.
Yeah.
You know? You have Pogba, and if you saw Euros, when Pogba has a proper defensive midfielder with him, where he doesn't have to worry about his tracking back all the time.
You can
see what he's able to do. You know?
Pogba.
And those are the people he has to verse, you know? He has a higher chance of making it into Man United, into the Man United starting 11, than going for Real Madrid or PSG. But again, let's see. Money does talk at the end of the day. We'll see who brings in the better offer.
Uh-huh.
Lastly, Jadon Sancho to Man United. Here we go.
Again.
For those who don't know that statement is from, that is Fabrizio Romano's statement. Here we go.
Hugely respected.
Yes, very huge. You know? He was about to lose his job this week, though.
What?
Yeah, you know.
No, I can't afford to lose.
The biggest conversation right now is the Sancho deal. And then Marcus Rashford, you know, on Twitter, almost announced it to the world.
What?
You know, somebody asked him, Ayo Rash, Ayo Mark, you know, can you announce Sancho? And he said, yes, X meaning.
So it's like, yo, it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
You know, Fabrizio Romano, you know, was beaten to the punch.
Marcus Rashford.
You know, the best striker in the world.
Yeah.
The best winger in the world. The best midfielder in the world. Yeah, proving once again that he will beat anyone to the punch. I obviously came out and said that his Twitter was hacked. Of course. But yeah, we believe him. It's Marcus Rashford, you know.
Yeah,
the feeder of the young ones.
Yeah.
You know. We'll cut him some slack. But yes, Jadon Sancho coming over to Manchester United for approximately, I think was it about 80 million? So it's about like 70 or 60 million with some add-ons.
He's coming.
So yeah, it looks like he's coming. I reckon it's going to be after the Euros for two major reasons. The current, I think the Chevrolet t-shirt deal is about to finish up and going into the Team Viewer t-shirt. And you don't want your biggest signing to be holding up
A Chevrolet t-shirt. Chevrolet's like, yay!
You know? You want him to come up there and hold your new Team Viewer t-shirt. So people can go buy this new Team Viewer t-shirt. You know, I think that's Man United's version of view on this. He's currently Euros. He might, because looking at how Gareth Southgate is playing him, not at all. So they might bring him through.
Yeah.
But talking about Gareth Southgate and the Euros. Euros was on fire this past week.
Understatement.
Euros, the round of 16 was like no other.
We can't describe it. That's how
Denmark,
that's how it was.
After losing their first two games, still qualified.
Yeah.
After beating...
How did they qualify? Tell us. Beating who?
Wales. 4-0.
Yes. 4-0 thrashing.
A 4-0 thrashing. It was crazy. But it was also quite good to see that Denmark making it through. Obviously, after having such a interesting first game, you know. Interesting tournament all around. You know, we are happy to see that they are still pushing. The other game was Italy versus Austria. That was a game I enjoyed.
Yeah. Tough. Oh, man.
My word. Oh, that, man. You know, the last time Italy was scored was on the 14th of October, 2020.
That was the last time they conceded a goal. What? Buffon must have been confused. I'm sure he was confused.
Yep.
What just happened?
The other time after that was in, obviously, the Euros against Austria.
2016.
No, I'm saying now.
No.
You know? And can I say, this match was basically Italy versus... what's his name? Alaba. Alaba, I don't know what position Alaba was playing.
I don't know.
I think the perfect place Alaba should have went. If Real Madrid didn't buy him yet, Pep would be all over him.
Yeah.
Would be Man City. Because this is the first player he could probably play as an inverted wing back, center defensive striker.
What?
Because that's basically what.
Say that again.
An inverted. In fact, I'm wrong. Inverted wing back, center defending. Center mid.
Oh my word. Oh my, that's the entire field.
That's where he was playing. I'm telling you, this guy's hit map. You know the hit map where they show you the map and they'll show like where he mostly was.
Yeah,
map.
Yeah.
The whole pitch would be red.
You like?
I feel like if he was allowed to, you'd play goalkeeper as well. I literally wouldn't be shocked. He was everywhere.
David Alaba.
David Alaba was playing as a winger at one point in the game.
And the guy is in his 30s.
And he was going back to defend.
No way.
But obviously, overall, this is a joke. But overall, you know, the entire Austria side played well. Defensively, they were very sound. Made a couple of opportunities, you know. Having 16 shots and only 3 of them on target. It was very, very, very good. Very close game. Going into extra time. Where Chiesa. What? Federico Chiesa.
Chiesa.
Federico Chiesa.
Yeah.
Came out. The Juventus young talent.
Oh, that guy.
Brilliant for Juventus this season. Uh-huh. Brilliant for Italy. Comes out and scores. Then, in the 105th minute, Matteo Pisani came out with the best celebration ever. He scores the ball. He scores the goal. Runs to the corner and literally just... goes down, like falls, face on with his face, everything, just like faints.
No way.
So now my new measure of sliding celebrations is how much face is involved.
Oh,
if there's no face involved in your celebration, you're weak. That wasn't a good goal.
Suck.
Nah, I don't rate your
goal. You don't deserve that goal.
I don't rate your goal. I don't fancy your goal at all. The next day of Euros was the shocker, where Czech Republic beat the Netherlands 2-0.
Yeah, beat.
They destroyed the Netherlands. Obviously, the Netherlands picked up a red card from Matthijs de Ligt. You know, he was very sad after the game. After they had a brilliant first half. And I don't blame de Ligt only, you know. I don't blame de Ligt only. Uh-huh. I think all round, they should have made... a lot of those opportunities count. There's a lot of opportunities that were well saved.
There are a lot of
chances. And there was a lot of opportunities that they allowed to get away from them.
Man.
And these are the type of things that cost you at the end of the game. You know, these are the type of things that will cost you dearly. And I know the strikers at the end of it were probably just looking back and thinking about those opportunities that they let go.
Yeah.
You know, God, that's the only thing you can do.
They couldn't sleep. Huh?
You know, that's the only thing you can do. It's look at it and be like, wow. The other big issue that happened was, I don't think they properly covered the hole that Matthijs de Ligt brought in.
Yeah.
And obviously they made a midfielder play more defensive, whatnot. But then they left a hole in their midfield, you know. I'm not their manager. I'm not even a FIFA A-type manager, you know. But I believe that at this point, you take away one of your strikers and you put in a midfielder. And you give Gini Wijnaldum a bit more.
Yeah.
You take away your striker and you bring in a defender. and you let Gini Wijnaldum play a bit more attacking, you know. But that's just me. That hole was really, really taken advantage of by Austria.
They made sure.
They made sure. Then Belgium beat Portugal 1-0 with Thorgan Hazard being the best Hazard.
Yeah, but it was tough. They were both performing.
Eden was performing very well. But overall, Portugal dominated the game.
Yeah,
Portugal were the better side. But, you know, at the end of the day, results is what matters.
Yep.
They failed to score so many opportunities, having 23 shots, 4 of them were on target. 58% position over Belgium's 42. For me, the highlight, though. So, for me, three things I'd highlight from this game. Number one, Renato Sanchez.
My word.
That is what you call a midfielder.
I'm glad I watched that match.
Arsenal is going for him. I think United should get him. If we lose Pogba, that is your guy.
Yeah, you will.
That is your guy.
Oh, my word. He's crazy.
Now, obviously, this happened the last time, you know, I think he scored the winning goal for them in 2016. And then...
Yeah.
And then he won the best youngest player of the tournament award. Then after that he fell off.
Yeah.
Now obviously he was a part of the Lille winning side.
Mhm.
He was a part of that Lille winning side, the one that won the Ligue 1 this season. You know, he's been on a good season so far. And let's hope he keeps it up. And let's hope wherever he lands the end of Euros, you know. Because right now we're not going to really hear any big transfers yet.
Yeah.
So let's see wherever he lands at the end of the Euros. I hope he plays as well as he did.
He's actually playing for Bayern. Then Bayern loaned him to Lille.
No, they didn't buy and sell him. I think they sold him.
They sold him. Permanent deal.
I think it was a permanent.
I'm hearing they want him back. But what?
I'm not sure.
How can Bayern do that? How dare Bayern?
I do not know.
Yeah, crazy.
But again, it's because he fell off. He really fell off. It was very interesting. Another thing I take from this game was, why did they play Diego Jota? They should have played either Andre Silva or João Felix from the start. It was...
I don't know.
The last game they played, he did not perform. Obviously, there was an absolute sitter he could have passed to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He took the glory for himself. Oh, my word. The same thing happened here where they gave him brilliant opportunities to score.
Countless.
This game could have been an easy 3-1. 4-1, and he could have walked away with a hat-trick. And this is not including the times he could have assisted for another player.
Yeah.
You know, making bad decision-making on the field. Probably because of the immense pressure he was in.
I think they took too long.
João Felix, I think it was a bad decision that bringing João Felix when they did, I think they only brought him in like the...
Yeah.
Some part in second half.
Yeah, late.
You know, and I wasn't happy about that. I think they should have brought him earlier. You know, they should have started Bruno. I understand. You see, with Bruno is more understanding, you know. He was tired coming into the competition. Probably had a couple of bad games. This last game, he showed why he's a top-rated midfielder.
When he came in, flip.
You know? But these were things that they were supposed to do half-time or throughout the game. Andre Silva as well.
Yeah.
Made the most of the little opportunity he had.
Shame.
But at
shame
that point, Belgium was defending. Belgium had they had nothing to lose. They had the most to lose, so they blocked off that backline.
Yeah.
You know.
Ooh.
Then moving on to the next day was Croatia versus Spain.
Oh. Match.
Croatia coming back from a 1-0 deficit.
Match of the tournament for me.
No, the match of the tournament's coming.
No wait, man.
And then obviously going into extra time and Alvis Morata scoring as well as Mikel Odiazabal.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's very close.
That's fine. That's
very close.
Close. You know? We'll take it.
And it was a great game. Once it got into extra time, it was a one-sided game.
Yeah.
Spain made the most pretty of those little opportunities that they had. Uh-huh.
Quick.
You know, and the other game, the best game of the tournament, France versus Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
France catching up after halftime. Another goal from Karim Benzema, him coming out of the brace.
Yeah.
A beautiful banger from Paul Pogba. You know, and I remember going to, like, after this goal, you know, as we're getting to the 80th minute, I thought to myself, if Switzerland scores now, there's a huge chance they're going to score an equalizer because it's going to rejuvenate the squad, and the squad has been playing pretty well. You know, they were attacking from the get-go, you know. And because normally when you're playing a team like France, knowing about, like, how fast their players are, you play very defensive, and, you know, you normally... These type of games, you know, it's like playing Man City. A lot of the times they come out with like 5 shots,
yeah,
2 shots.
Yeah.
You know, they came out with 12 shots and 5 of those 12 on target. Wow. That's about a 40% shot accuracy.
Insane. You know? Insane.
80th minute, a goal comes in by Stefanich. I hope you say his name right. And then a 90th minute equalizer by Mario Ganovic. Going to penalties with Kylian Mbappe missing the sole penalty, the last one.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have been giving him hate on social media, and I don't agree with it. You've probably heard one of our previous shows. You do know that I'm not the biggest Kylian Mbappe fan.
Yeah.
But I do not stand with him. I stand with Mbappe. You know, people think penalties are the easiest things on the earth. You know, people will call Messi, Pesci. Call Ronaldo, Pinaldo, call Bruno Fernandes, Penandes. But people don't understand. Penalties are not easy.
These guys make it look flippin' easy.
Yeah.
It's not.
And taking a penalty outside of like a packed stadium is already hard.
Nah. Plus, you have a huge goalkeeper.
Now you have a very tall, trained goalkeeper.
Machine. Penalty
with
saving crowd machine.
Shouting. And stakes are high.
Oof.
You know, Mbappe... One of the greatest, one of the best players right now.
Yeah.
Stood up there and the pressure got to him. Made of, because I looked at the penalty, even if I was the keeper, you know, I might have saved that. And it's not because of, like, the penalty was so obvious from the run-up to where he was going to hit it, you know. If he hit it the opposite direction,
yeah,
he would have destroyed that keeper. If he hit it lower,
yeah,
but literally from his run-up, you could see where he is going to hit the ball.
Right.
You know, and he couldn't get it into that corner that he wanted to get it into, and overall it was safe, you know. It happens. It happens to the best players. The pressure is high. The emotions are high. The stake is high.
They'll come back stronger. Yeah.
You know, then the last two games of the evening wasn't as, you know, as jam-packed, but they were good games. You know, you had England versus Germany,
mm-hmm,
and then that ended up 2-0. Jack Grealish changed the game. Spoke about it earlier, and then Ukraine versus Sweden.
Yeah,
with Ukraine coming out victors 2-1. Zinchenko with another beautiful Zinchenko's goal got me going crazy.
Yeah,
you know, and why do these people have hard names?
Yeah, no, that
Dover Boyk scoring in the in extra time.
Oh,
also another beautiful goal. Now as we close off, the quarterfinals will be Switzerland versus Spain, Belgium versus Italy,
tough,
Czech Republic versus Denmark,
tough,
and Ukraine versus England.
I can't wait.
I can't wait.
You know, the highlight for me, as we close, is the small teams they have no respect for the big ones. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. What is happening?
For what?
It's almost like they were like, no.
I wouldn't be shocked if the finals is Switzerland versus Ukraine.
I promise you.
I wouldn't be shocked.
It still would be a beautiful game.
I think Ukraine is going to beat England and then going to beat Czech Republic and then go to the finals. And I think Switzerland is going to beat Spain and Italy and get to the finals.
I think Czech might take it.
I think overall, no, Ukraine is a smaller team, so I think Ukraine will take it. Obviously, these are not our official predictions.
I see Czech Republic.
Please don't come and tell us you guys got it wrong. No, these are not our official predictions.
Yeah, no.
I still think either England or Italy are going to win this. I think that's the finals.
I say Belgium.
You say?
Belgium.
I don't think we'll get out. But that is it from us.
Kevin De Bruyne is taking it.
From us to you.
Enjoying the Active FM shows? Well, then catch us on Instagram at ActiveFM777. Hesitate, find, follow, and enjoy us on all our different platforms. You don't want to miss out.
Wash away your sins.